The 10th parak is going to teach us when we have multiple karbanos that we need to attend to. For example, we have two karbanos that we need to do the shechit on both, or we have two, we need to do the zrika of the blood on each of them. Which one is going to take priority? And we will see various rules as we go through this parak. The first Mishnah is going to start out Mishnah Aleph with a very famous rule, Tadir Vesheno Tadir, Tadir Kodem, which means when you have something that it was done more often and something that is relatively done less often than the other one, you are going to choose the Tadir, the more regular one, over the not as regular one. So the Mishnah says as follows, Kol HaTadir Mechavero Kodem Eschavero, any korban that is more common, more oftenly done, then the other one, we're going to do the more common one first, and we're going to have three examples of this. Number one, hatamidim kadmim lamusafim. If we have a korban tamid, the tamid was brought each and every day in the morning and the afternoon, and we also have a korban that's a musaf offering that comes on special occasions. It comes on chagim, it comes on Shabbos. So because the tamid, the daily offering of the tamid, is more often than the musaf, we're always going to do the tamid first. Second example, musvei Shabbos kodmin musvei Rosh Chodesh. If we have Rosh Chodesh that falls on Shabbos, so now we have the Shabbos offerings, there's musaf of Shabbos, and we also have the musaf korban of Rosh Chodesh. So it happens to be that the more often one is Shabbos. Shabbos happens once every 7 days, Baruch Hashem, and the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is once a month, or it could be twice a month, depending on the situation. So because that of Shabbos is going to be more often, we are going to do that of Shabbos first, before we do the Musaf offering of Rosh Chodesh. Third example, Musvei Rosh Chodesh Kodmin the Musvei Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we have to bring the Musaf, both of Rosh Chodesh, because it is Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, so also the Musaf offerings of Rosh Hashanah. So because the Tadir Vesheino Tadir, the rule, whatever's more often goes first, because the Musaf Rosh Chodesh comes every month, and the Musaf, or the Musafim of Rosh Hashanah, comes only once a year, we're going to do the Musvei Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah before the Musvei Rosh Hashanah and Shenan Amar. Where do we learn this concept of Tadir Vesheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem, that the more regular one takes priority of the less regular one? So the Mishnah brings a famous pasuk from Bamidbar Chavches. It says, Milvat Olas HaBoker Asher LaOlas HaTamid Tasu Eseila. What are we learning here? So the Bartanur explains as follows. We learn from here, it says, in addition or aside from the Olas HaBoker, which is the Olas HaTamid, so it's repetitive here. It says, in addition and aside from the Ola that we do in the morning, that's the Korban Tamid, we do Ela, which is talking about the Musaf. So we learn from that that the Korban Tamid comes before the Musaf. But why does the Pasuk add in the language Asher LaOlas HaTamid? That seems to be repetitive. It says, in aside from the Korban Tamid, which is the Korban Tamid, we do the Korban Musaf. So it's coming to teach us from those words, Asher LaOlas HaTamid, that this concept of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir doesn't only apply when we're talking about the Korban Tamid and the Korban Musaf, that the Korban Tamid comes first, but it applies in any situation that we have these issues of something that's more common and something less common. We apply this rule of Tadir Vesheino Tadir, the one that is Tadir is going to be Kodem. Mishnah Beis is going to teach us another, actually also famous rule when it comes to setting priorities, and now we're applying it to the bringing of korbanos. V'chol ha-mekudosh mechavero kodem eschavero. Literally, anything that is holier than something else is going to come before that something else. In other words, if something is on a higher level here, it doesn't necessarily mean it's holier, but it means mekudosh has certain laws, certain advantages to it, certain things that apply to it that don't apply to the other item. The one that is going to be categorized as mekudosh is going to come before the other one. And now we're going to have a slew of examples of this, six examples of this concept. Number one goes as follows. If we have dam chatas kodim ledam ola, if we have to do the zrika, and we have the blood ready for a korban chatas and the blood ready for the korban ola, the Mishnah tells us the chatas comes before the ola, mipnei shumerasa, because the blood of a korban chatas atones for some serious sins, whereas the korban ola, the blood doesn't do that. So that is why the blood of a chatas has priority. It's considered mekudosh. Second example, Evare ola kodemim le'emurechatas. If we now have a choice of what to burn on the Mizbeach, we have literally the limbs, the evarim of the korban ola versus the innards, the sacrificial parts of the korban chatas. The entire chatas wasn't burned on the Mizbeach, only certain parts of it. So the Mishnah tells us that we're going to burn the evarim, the limbs of the korban ola first, mipnei shehen kalila yishim, because the korban ola effectively is on Mekudash, it's on a higher level, because more of it is burned on the Mizbeach. The Korban Ola is fully burned on the Mizbeach, whereas only certain parts of the Chatas is burned on the Mizbeach. Third example, Chatas Kodemes La'asham, if we have a Korban Chatas to bring, and we also have a Korban Asham to bring, the Chatas is going to take priority, mipnei shedama nitan al arba kranos. Reason number one is because when we do a zrika of the korban chatas, the zrika is done on all four corners. It's actually done, we've seen in the past, at the top of the mizbeach, there were horns, four horns on the corners of the mizbeach. So it was done there at the top of the mizbeach. It required four applications when it came to the chatas, as opposed to the asham that only had two applications below the mizbeach. And also, another reason that the chatas will take priority is va'al hayisud, because there's an explicit pasuk that says the leftover blood from the chatas is poured onto the base of the mizbeach. The same thing is done for the asham. It's poured onto the base of the mizbeach, but there's no explicit pasuk that teaches us that. Number four example, asham. We have a korban asham, kodim letoda. It comes before a korban toda, a Thanksgiving offering, and also it comes before ula el nazir, the ram that is brought by a nazir. So why is the asham considered mekudash? Mipneishu kodshei kodoshim. The asham is kodshei kodoshim. That's in the category of the higher level of the korbanos, having more sanctity, as opposed to the toda and the al-nazir that are kodshei kalim. Fifth example, hatoda, the el-nazir, that korban toda, the Thanksgiving offering, and the ram that's brought by the nazir, kodmim leshlamim, will come before the shlamim. Why? Mipnei shehen ne'echalim liyom echad, because those two, the toda, the el-nazir, are eaten only for one day, as opposed to the shlami, which is eaten for 2 days. And also another reason that they are considered mekudash, uteunim lechem, in conjunction with bringing the toda and the el-nazir, you also bring, as part of the korban, various forms of bread. However, that does not apply to the shlamim. There was no additional bread that was brought with the korban shlamim. And number six, shlamim kodmim lebechor, the korban shlamim comes before, if you have a bechor, that's a firstborn animal that is brought as a korban, so the shlamim will take priority to the bechor. Why? Mibnei shehem tuunim, many reasons. Mibnei shehem, that's the shlamim tuunim matan arba, you have applications of on two, literally that's four, but the korban shlamim, you applied it on two corners of the mizbeach, and that went onto four sides of the Mizbeach, so that's on a higher level than the Bechor that was only applied once, had one application, a smicha, you leaned on the Shlamim, as opposed to the Bechor that had no leaning on it, unesachim, and has various nesachim, that's Korban Mincha came together with the Shlamim, and also wine that was brought together with it. However, that did not apply to the Bechor. And also, Tnufas Chasev Eshok, when it came to the Shlamim, it was waved, the Kohen would wave it together with the Baal, that's the waving of the breast and the thigh, and that did not apply to the Bechor as well. Mishnah Gimel continues the theme of the prior Mishnah, where we're talking about which Korbanos, when we have two competing, which one has priority of the other, over the other. So HaBechor, that is indeed the firstborn animal, kodem lemaser, is before the maser, behema, when we give one every out of every 10 of the new animals that were born. So the bechor, firstborn, comes before the maser, mimnei shekedusha, so mirechem, when it comes to the bechor, the kedusha of that animal is immediate and automatic from when it was born. And when it comes to the maaser, it's not considered holy. It's not holy until the person declares that this is the maaser behema. This is the tenth of the newborn animals that I had during this time period. So it has to be declared, until it's counted nine, and this is the tenth one, it's not considered maaser. V'nechal kohanim. Another difference is that the bechor is eaten by the kohanim. That's a mekudash yoser. relative to the maaser behema that can be eaten by anyone. Another example, ha-maaser kodem la'ofos. If we have competition, which we're going to do first between the maaser behema and a bird offering, so we are going to take the maaser behema first. Why? Mipnei shehu zevach, because when it comes to the maaser behema, that's an animal that requires shechita, whereas a bird offering doesn't get shechita, it has malika, so it's on a lower level, it's not mekudash, and in addition, v'yeshbo kodshei kodashim, when it comes to the animal, it has more holy parts put on the mizbeach, which are damov emurav, that's the blood, and the emurim, the sacrificial parts, and that contrasts with the bird offering that only has the blood put on the mizbeach, but not sacrificial parts as well. Mishnah Dalet continues discussing the priorities when we have competing karbanos, which goes first. So just as we saw that in general an animal offering comes before a bird offering, so too a bird offering is going to come before a korban mincha, a flower offering. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Dalet, ha'ofos, bird offerings called mimlel menachos will come before mincha offerings, flower offerings. Why? Mipnei shehen minei dami, because there is dam involved, there's blood involved. The Bar Tanur explains, minei damim kaparata meruba, when you have blood, for example, we have the zrika of the animals, now we have the various blood offerings are the parts of the korbanos that are done with the blood. So if we have bird offerings, we have what we've seen in the past in Amasachtas, we have the mitzui and azah, that is bringing a karpara. So there's a higher karpara brought on when we have ofos than when we have a korban mincha. Continuing, another example, minchas chote kodemes le minchas nedav. If somebody indeed did a sin, and in certain circumstances, he can't afford to bring the animal offering, so he can bring in its place a mincha. So that's a mincha schote for specific sins that were done. So somebody is bringing a mincha schote, that is going to come before a mincha nedava, somebody that is volitionally giving a mincha offering. Why? Why do we give the mincha schote first? Mipnei shehi ba'al chet, as expected, because it comes for a sin, it is taking care of a sin, it is atoning for a sin, so accordingly that has priority over a minchas nedava, a volitional bringing of a korban mincha. And the last, chata sa'of kodemis le'ola sa'of, when we're talking about somebody who is bringing two bird offerings, or it would actually apply in other circumstances as well, as we'll see shortly, but let's limit it to somebody as a chata sa'of to bring, and has also an olas off, accordingly, you would have to do the melika, you have to do two competing acts on those birds. The chatas off is going to come before the olas off. Why would that be? So if we look in the Bar Tanura, he says there's a mefurish pasuk on this in Vayikra, hey, it says, Vayikrives asher lechatas rishana, when we have offerings that we're bringing, and you, the pasuk says specifically, you're going to bring the chatas before the ola. And in fact, this is a binyanav. We use this as the basis to learn for all other situations, whether it's talking about bird offerings or animal offerings, that when you have a chatas and you have an ola, the chatas is going to come before the ola offering. So that is what we learned from that pasuk there. And then the Mishnah concludes, not only talking about when we're offering it, when we're doing the shechita, etc., on those offerings. If it's an oaf, it would be a malika. But v'chein behekdesha, in addition, when somebody is choosing, has to bring a set of bird offerings. And one of them is going to be a chatas and an ola. When he specifies, when he designates which is which, indeed, he specifies the bird that's going to be the chatas before he specifies, before he verbalizes that this one is going to be the ola. So the same thing applies when we are bringing the karbanas, we're giving priority to the chatas over the ola. The same thing applies when somebody is makdish, a care of birds, he's going to first specify the chatas bird before the ola bird. Mishnah is continuing our theme of which karbanas are prioritized over others, and in specific, we are going to build on Mishnah Beis, where we said that if we have a quote-unquote competition, we need to prioritize a chatas or an asham, it's going to be the chatas that's going to be prioritized over the asham, and now we're going to qualify that just a little bit. There's going to be an exception brought in our Mishnah. So Mishnah Hey says as follows, kol hachataos shebetorah kodmos la'ashamos, all the chataos, when we have our avachatas, all different types of chataos, we have all different types of ashamos, we're going to prioritize the chatas in front of the asham chutz, with the exception of me'asham mitzorah, a mitzora who is going through his purification process, he's going to bring three karbanos, an asham, achatas, and an ola. So when we have those two, we have a competition between the asham and the chatas. Here we're saying that the asham of the mitzora is going to come before the chatas. Why? Because it's coming to purify the mitzora. In other words, what it's coming to do is it's permitting him to go into the base of mikdash, it's permitting him to eat kodshim, and accordingly, we're putting that asham before the chatas. Now, truth be told, the chatas is also necessary to permit the mitzora to go into the base of mikdash and eat the kodshim, but the machshir, what really purifies him more of the two, is the asham rather than the chatas, because the asham is applied on his thumbs, his various body parts as well. It's applied to his ear, his thumb, his toe. So because of that, there's a closer nexus, a closer connection between the asham being machshir, purifying that mitzora, than the chatas. And accordingly, we have the exception to the rule that the one time that we will prioritize the asham over the chatas is that of the mitzora. Continuing, as long as we're talking about how the asham of the mitzora differs for the other types of ashamas, we're going to give another example. Kol ha'ashama shebatorah, when it comes to all of the ashamas, korban asham in the Torah, ba'in b'nei shtayim, they have to be 2 years old, the animal, ba'in b'kesef shkalim, and they have to cost the minimum of two shkalim, and we have two exceptions to this rule. One of them is the asham mitzora, as we mentioned, and we're going to have one other exception, chutz, me'asham nazir va'asham mitzora. These two are the exceptions, an asham brought by the nazir, and an asham brought by a mitzora, shem bayin b'nei shnasam, that the age is not 2 years, but 1 year old, ve'enam bayin b'kesef shkalim, and they don't have to be bought with two shkalim, it can even be less than that. Mishnah Vav is going to continue discussing priorities in when we have competing korbanos, but whereas before we were talking about priorities in bringing the korban, for example, where are we going to do the shechita first? Are we going to do the shechita of a chatas first or an asham, for example? Now we're going to talk about priorities in eating of the karbana. So if we have the meat of a chatas or an asham or a toda, which gets eaten first? So the Mishnah says as follows, Kishem shem kodmim b'hakravasan, just like we said before, throughout this Mishnayas that we go by mekudash, whichever one has advantages over the other ones. So for example, the chatas comes before the asham comes before the toda. So just like we, in the hakrava, in the bringing of the karbanas, we have those priorities. We have same priority when it comes to the eating. Kachen kodmin ba'achilasan, we're going to have the chatas first, and then the asham, and then the toda. Now we're going to get a little bit more complicated than that. We're going to talk about when we have different karbanas that have different deadlines for when they have to be eaten by. So the Mishnah continues, shlamim shalemesh. If we have a korban shlamim, it was shechted yesterday, and the law of a korban shlamim is you have 2 days and the night in between. So if we have yesterday shlamim, so 1 day passed, the night passed, so it's today, that's the second day, it has to be eaten by the end of the day, so we don't have too much more time on it. Ushlamim shalayom, and we have today's shlamim, so that can be eaten the rest of today, tonight and tomorrow, so it has another day, another night, and a day on that second shlamim, the more recent shlamim. So the Mishnah says, shalemesh kodmi, we have to eat yesterday's first because it has a sooner deadline. The deadline is going to be the end of the day, not the end of tomorrow. Continuing now to get more complicated, if we have shlamim shalemesh, again, if we have yesterday's shlamim, and it's going to have a shorter deadline, it's going to have a shorter deadline because the deadline is today, right? It was yesterday, shlamim. By the end of today, it has to be eaten. And that's competing with the chatas ve'asham shalayam, either a korban chatas or a korban asham of today. Now, the difference is these have a longer deadline. These can be eaten today and tonight. But what's different in their favor to eat them first is that they are kodshei kodashim. A chatas and asham are kodshei kodashim, and the shlamim is a kodshim kalim. So here, which takes priority? So this is going to be a machlokes. What's more important, having the shorter deadline eaten first or having the mekudash, the one that's holier, eaten first? So shlamim shel emesh kodmin divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you go by which has the shorter deadline, then even though the shlamim is kodshei kalim, and you're going to be eating it before kodshei kodshim, we are going to do that because it has a shorter deadline. On the other hand, v'chachamim omrim, hachatas kodemes, Chachamim are of the view the Chatas and also the Asham are going to take priority mipnei shihi kodshei kodashim, because the Chatas and also the Asham are the kodshei kodashim. They are going to take priority even though they have a longer deadline, a longer amount of time to be eaten, but because they're kodshei kodashim, they are going to take priority over the shlamim, which is kodshei kalim. Mishnah Zayin is loosely connected to the prior Mishnah because it talks about eating of karbanos, specific laws when it comes to the eating of the karbanos, in particular by the kohanim, uvakulam. And in all of these karbanos, where it's a mitzvah to eat them, hakohanim reshaim leshanot ba'achilasan le'ochlam tsluyim, the kohanim have the flexibility of eating them, to prepare them as they desire. So they can eat it tsluyim, which is roasted, shlukim, overcooked, umuvushalim, regular cooking, velases lesochan, tivle chulin, vitivle truma, divi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says they can spice it as they desire, and they can use the spices of chulin, regular spices, not hekdesh, and they can use the spices of truma as well. They're kohanim, so just like they can eat these karbanos, mitzvah for them to eat these karbanos, it's a mitzvah for them to enjoy the karbanos, so let them as well use the spices that they have of truma. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir disagrees with one point. He disagrees with the ability to use spices of truma to spice the meat of the karbanos. So Rabbi Meir Omer lo yiten lesocha tivle truma, you cannot put in the spices of truma onto the meat as they're preparing them. So lo yavi es hatruma leide psul. The concern is you may cause the truma to become invalidated. Here, similar to what we had in the prior Mishnah, that we have a deadline in eating the karbana. So it may be today, it may be tomorrow, but there's going to be a deadline on eating that korban because there's a specific amount of time you can eat karbanas. But when it comes to truma, there's no deadline. So if we put the truma onto the korban, this truma that otherwise can be eaten for a while, you can eat it as long as you want to, but you put it on that korban, if that meat hits its deadline, it can no longer be eaten. What you're causing is the disqualification not only of the meat of that korban, but also you're causing the disqualification of the spices of the truma that you added to it, that otherwise that truma would not be disqualified. So that is indeed Rabbi Meir's concern, and he says accordingly you should not be adding spices of truma to the korban because you're putting it at risk of having to be disqualified. Mishnah Ches quotes from Rabbi Shimon. We just saw Rabbi Shimon in the prior Mishnah talking about use of spices from Truma. Now Rabbi Shimon is going to talk about dividing up oil between the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash for their personal use. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Mishnah Ches, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Imra Isa, Shemen, Shumischalik Bazor. If you see Shemen, oil that's being divided up, given to the Kohanim and the Azor and the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash for them to use for their personal use, you don't have to ask, you don't have to guess why are they getting this oil, where's this oil from. You only have two options. Ela mosar rikike minchos Yisrael. It's either from the leftover oil that was used in the specific type of korban mincha brought by Yisrael, or the mincha called the rikike minchos, and it was brought by Yisrael. We'll see shortly that a kohen is treated differently. Or your other option, this oil is being divided up from a different korban. It was velog shemen shel mitzorah, the leftover when a mitzorah comes at the end of the Tarask, he's purifying, completing the process. In addition to the karbanos, he brings a certain amount, a log of shemen oil that is used in the process of his purification. And also the leftover is divided up by the kohanim. So what Rabbi Shimon is telling us is if you see shemen oil that's being divided to the kohanim, it's either from Rekike Minchas Yisrael or it's leftover from the shemen of the mitzorah that was brought together with his karbanos. Continuing, Rabbi Shimon has another point talking about oil in the base of Mikdash. Imra Isa Shemen Shunasun al Gabe Aishim. If you see that oil, on the other hand, it's not being given out to the Kohanim, but it is being burnt on the Mizbeach. Again, you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask. You don't have to guess. What is this from? Again, you only have two options. Ela Mosar Rikike Minchas Kohanim. It's either from the leftover, this time of the Rikike Mincha. That's the same time we mentioned before, a certain type of Korban Mincha, but it was brought by a Kohen. And the halacha is when a Kohen brings a Korban Mincha, Rikike Mincha, the entire amount is burnt on the Mizbeach. So the entire Shem and all of the oil, it's not that part is used and part is divided up to the Kohanim. That's the case of the Yisrael. brought that rikike mincha, but if a kohen brought a rikike mincha, all of it is burnt on the mizbeach. And option number two, when you see oil being fully burnt on the mizbeach, o minchas kohen hamashiach, this is a korban mincha, and there was oil brought as well with it, that was brought on a daily basis by the kohen gadol. So if you see that oil again is being burnt on the mizbeach, it's either for one of two reasons. Either it's because it's a part of the rikike mincha, the leftover rikike mincha oil from a kohen, or it's from the oil from the mincha that the kohen gadol will bring on a daily basis. And the Tanakhama explains as follows: it's not anything else, because shemen, oil, cannot be brought as a standalone korban. Shein misnadvin shemen, we don't give as an adava, a voluntary standalone donation to the Beis HaMikdash of shemen. So it's not going to be that. You don't have to assume that if you see shemen being given out or being burnt on the mizbech, it was a nedava of shemen. That's not an option. We brought all of the options. It's two and two. It's two options when the shemen is being given out, and it's two options when the shemen is being burnt on the mizbeach. However, Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. Rabbi Tarfon omer mitnadvim shemen. Indeed, you can't go by the rules that Rabbi Shimon brought. You can indeed have somebody who gives oil as a korban nedav, and it's actually a machlokes. Is he talking about disagreeing on the first part of the Mishnah or the second part of the Mishnah? What that means is if you see a shemen that is being divided up in the Azorah, is Rabbi Tarfon now saying there's another option? You can't assume one and two that it's the Rikike Mincha Vishol or the Luk Shemen HaMetzorah, it's the oil from them, because indeed it could be a third option. It could be that it was a Nadav or shemen, or the other option is he is referring to the second part of the Mishnah, where it says if you see shemen that is being burnt on the Mizbeach, you don't have to limit it to the two that was brought, to the two that were brought by Rabbi Shimon. Indeed, there could be a third option. It could be a nedava of shemen. So that's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, basically a little bit more complicated than that, but that indeed would be a machlokes. What is Rabbi Tarfon referring to?